DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Hello, hello. We are live right now on Facebook. Thanks so much for joining me here as we kick off for DJ NTV Monday Night Hangout tonight. Looking forward to chatting with some folks here. If you'd like to join, all you have to do is feel free to hit me up here. I'll try to bring you into the live stream as well, as much as we can here, and do our best with that. We've got a lot to chat about here, of course. Let me click the invite button. We will get hopefully some peeps to join us on live tonight on Facebook. And I will just type this in here. Those of you that got the link, there's a link in the description below. You should be able to join me in the live chat by clicking on that link. And we can bring you on live here, chat about DJ industry, what's going on in the industry right now. Had some big items planned. I know NAMM just finished up. As I take a quick sip of coffee here. Coming to you live, John Young had to kind of handle a family thing, a family emergency, if you will. Nothing too major, nothing, you know, to be concerned about, but he's having me fill it for him right now here for DJ NTV. So we thank John for that. Anyone wants to join the live chat here on Facebook, feel free to hop up. Oh, someone, I got a message from John here, so we'll see. Maybe we'll still be able to do this on a John Young side of things. We'll see. Looks like Alton is in the chat with us here. Trying to find you, Alton, so I can pull you up here. Alton, can you join the chat here with us? You pop into the webinar, sir? Trying to pull Alton in if I can. We got a couple attendees here, it looks like. Looks like Hampton Thomas, Alton Olson. Bringing in Hampton. There's Alton. Good morning, sir. I can't hear Alton. We got to unmute you, Alton.
There we go. No, we're good now.
Hampton's going to join us here as well. We'll unmute Hampton. Hampton Thomas, thank you for joining us, sir, here tonight. DJ NTV. It looks like I think John might be starting the show here. So you guys may have to hop back in. I'm still waiting to hear from John. And we'll go from there how we're going to do this. So thanks for hopping in here, Alton.
Sure thing.
What have you been hearing lately for the latest in the DJ world?
Mostly everything from NAMM.
I saw part of the show last night for John Young and Arnaldo Offerman, of course, had a show last night. Our friend Tom Heath jumped on the show last night briefly and talked about, you know, how NAMM doesn't stand or stands for not available until mid-May.
Right.
Is what NAMM stands for. I'm excited. I see that our friends at NLFX have the new Sennheisers are coming out.
Yes, the G4s.
Sometime in April.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to those. And, of course, with April comes Midwest DJs Live. So I know we'll probably be able to, if you want to see those firsthand in person, I bet you can get your little paws on a set of those at Midwest DJs Live upcoming, excuse me, at the Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. It's going to be happening in, we'll bring Lucas on here as a panelist as well.
Yes.
April 30th and May 1st of 2018. I got some big things happening for that. Lucas is going to be joining us here in a second, I think. Hampton, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'm not sure if you can hear us or not. Hampton, you haven't piped in yet. Looks like it says, please start your camera, but no big deal. Hello, Lucas. How are you?
Hi. Great to see everybody.
How's things? Good?
Oh, we're great. We're great. We're thawing out and babies are getting to bed, so it's a great day.
Got it.
You. Good to see you, Lucas.
Important to have the kids in bed. So topics for tonight, what would you guys like to roll with for topics tonight? Any ideas, any thoughts?
Oh, that's a good question. Now we're on the spot here. Lucas, go ahead. If you got something, just shout it out.
I want to hear how smart Alton Olson is.
It's not a very long conversation. Not very smart.
Right? Mitch, I just here in a couple weeks, we'll see each other again, right?
In a couple weeks?
Yeah, down in Hilton Head.
Yes, you're going to be there, sir?
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to it. On Sunday and quick trip for me.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. That's actually something that I think, you know, let's chat about that. That's a good thing to chat about here tonight. So often we get so wrapped up and roped into our own world, like this little box that we just put ourselves in, right? I'm not doing the Vogue. I'm just doing, you know, the box that we put each other in, you know? And that's the truth. You know, we put each other in boxes, but we don't actually think about, you know, I'm going to try to take care of Hampton's video here. There we go. So we don't actually think about what can I do to expand my circle? What can I do to expand my reach? And frankly, it's guys like Jamie Bodie, who has developed the Mixposium down in South Carolina. It's his very first year of doing this. It's his opportunity to try something. And Jamie kind of threw it out there. He's got 15 guys now, some traveling all the way from Michigan. Lucas, you're in Illinois, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
So Lucas is traveling in from Illinois. So this isn't just a southeast corner thing. Because of Jamie Bodie's reach and having spoken at Las Vegas DJ show and spoken at, you know, actually Midwest DJ's Live upcoming, Jamie's going to be speaking at. So actually having that opportunity to expand your reach, I think, is an amazing thing. And so kudos to Jamie for doing that for the Mixposium. And also, you know, guys like Robbie Britton. You know, Robbie started out Armed DJs, excuse me, as a lark. He announced it on April Fool's, literally 10 years ago is when Robbie announced it. He announced it 10 years ago, 2008, I believe it was, on April Fool's. And everyone thought it was an April Fool's, which it wasn't. And so for someone to say, you know, Robbie lives in a town of, I don't know, it's like 12, 14,000 people, whatever. So just to get out and start something, the guys at Midwest DJs Live, same thing. Mm-hmm. They actually went in and started something. That got started in the back of Bucket's Pub in Racine, Wisconsin. And look how it's grown from Bucket's Pub of guys just bringing gear together and now exploding it to a 10-year anniversary show at the biggest hotel and casino in downtown Milwaukee. For growth, it's been amazing to see. So don't limit yourself. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't be in a situation where, oh, this is all I got to do. This is all I'm doing. This is all there is.
Well, and Mitch, you know, you mentioned that, and it's, you know, you're talking about some big things that are on a much more like regional and national level, which can seem intimidating to some people when they're starting out, obviously. But start out locally, start out small. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that Facebook, social media, it's so easy to start a group and get all of your local DJs in that. We have a couple of them here in Wisconsin. We've got Wisconsin DJs. I started a group called the Wisconsin DJ Batphone, where essentially its sole purpose is that if there's a DJ in trouble and you need help and backup, and you just want to tap the pool of resources that are out there, you can call on your peers to come and bail you out. And it has worked. We have saved several events from being without a DJ because a DJ had a medical emergency or whatnot. But there's all kinds of reasons to reach out to your local communities and start getting people to work together and network. And then through that, you start to get to know each other, you start to build relationships, and you start to build a community where people can help each other out and everybody can increase their skills and do better for not only themselves and their business, but also for the people they're serving.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is, you know, we got to realize that, okay, that's the benefit. what's the true benefit down the line is for the clients, right?
I mean,
yeah, you started it to rescue a DJ if he's in a time of need, but the true benefit is that the client doesn't get hosed.
That too, absolutely. Well, yeah. and that's the thing too. And of course, from that, then not only do the clients notice it, but the other professionals notice it too. And that all helps as well, because then they know who are the people in the area that they can call on for help if they know something's going down that's going to happen. I mean, really, you know, like you said, Mitch, we're all in this together for the clients. And whether you're DJ, photographer, venue manager, what have you, in the end, we're here to serve the clients.
Yeah, absolutely. We're here to serve clients. We're here to help facilitate their day. Lucas, what are your thoughts on this topic?
I love it. And my downstate chapter, we actually had this very thing happen. It was a charger issue for one of our guys. Excuse me. It was a charger issue. See, this is live, guys. I'm telling you, getting calls, getting questions. This is live, baby. We had a charger issue for one of the guys. You know, the backup was, as where backups are, it wasn't there for him. So we had to pull resources together to make it work for his show to go to completion. And the networking is amazing if you choose to accept it. A few years ago, it was, you know, I don't know if it was a vacuum or a funnel or something, but all my knowledge, all my resources, I kept to myself for the longest time. And there's a lot of people that were like that. And now, you know, you might have the same problem somewhere down the line, and you might have come across this hurdle. And now the Facebook, live and a lot of the social media has allowed us to drop the BS or whatever you want to maybe break down some walls, break down some barriers that, you know, there might be a better way to do this or work smarter, not harder. And it's great to network. It's great to expand. And to be open into, I've seen this guy have this problem, but here's a great solution for that. And I've learned so much just from the, you know, different library that I'm growing behind me here. Knowledge is everything. Networking is everything. To help others, it's priceless.
Absolutely. So we're going to, actually, I just got word from John. We're going to go live with the other link now. Sorry for the confusion here, guys. I thank you for joining and jumping in with me here. Definitely appreciate that. But we're gonna
go live. Help save the show, buddy.
I appreciate it. I'm gonna put the next live link in here right now, so that if you're watching this, you can see it, and we can pick it up from there. And if you guys want to jump back in, by all means, feel free to do so. I'm putting the next live link in the comments in this thread right now. There it is. So feel free to join the next live link. Make sure we get this set for John Young here for this. Looks like Joe Minnie Carter had a great question that we'll hit on the next live link. How do you hire and find quality employees or people that don't mind working every week? So that's a great, great question. We'll hit that live next. I'm going to hop on with the John the other link here. And guys, if you want to join me, feel free to do so, okay?
Absolutely. See you on the other side.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Right. Oh, thank you, Ian. I greatly appreciate it. Ian says he just bought Vicky's and my book, Creating Connections, 31 Days to Building Stronger and Deeper Relationships on Audible. Awesome. Thank you, Ian. I greatly appreciate that. All right. So should we cover the topic that was brought up by Joe Minnie Carter in the other live video? How do we feel about that? Is that okay?
Yeah. Sure. What was the topic?
So the topic was from Joe Carter was how to find people that are willing to work weekends, quality people that are willing to put in the time and effort and work and want to work weekends. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here.
As far as like roadies?
I think you could talk about roadies and all the way up from there.
Okay.
I think there's a couple different things to hit on there. So from the standpoint of, I guess, why don't we just round it? Howie, what are your thoughts?
I typically do not hire other DJs or even people in the business. And the reason for that is it's not that they're not reliable. It's that they're too reliable and they get other gigs. So I have a fellow that I use that's completely outside. He actually restores antique cars. So he's very knowledgeable with wiring and mechanical things. And that's who I go to because he is reliable because he's off.
Okay, James?
I actually rely on Howie.
Okay.
We've worked a couple of gigs together and it's been really good. The big thing I see is paying people a proper wage, you know, paying them properly. That's the motivation for most people to really be responsible and show up on time.
Okay. So let's, there's a lot we can hit there for meat. What would you feel is a proper wage? Depending, obviously it depends on what they're doing for work, right? I mean, I get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you have a percentage you have in mind of what you're thinking?
Typically, I pay between as low as 100 up to 300 if it's an out-of-town gig.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And for me, for tailored weddings, you know, I would say that it depends on the event. I frankly, you know, certain events for me are like, you know, for Boost, we pay about $15 an hour. We typically pay an extra hour on each side to help out for the event as well. And then for the assistant side, we start typically at, you know, let's see, our assistants make typically around $12 an hour. Again, depending on the how you work that number, are you working it based upon hours worked or actual time at the event? You know, there's all kinds of ways to work that number, right? For us, it's typically hours worked. Well, that normally falls into play, some of that ballpark. And then for talent, you know, the actual MC side of things, our staff starts at $350 and goes up from there. I have some of our MCs. I had one MC once. He made almost $2,000.
I was supposed to download that. That's why I was free.
Oh, Brock's talking.
I didn't download that. I get that.
We need to mute Brock.
Got it.
Right, thank you, Howie. Appreciate that.
I'll take care of that for you.
No offense, Brock. We love you.
All right. How about we do what we usually do then? I'm going to close out the chat, and I'll take care of the mics for you.
All right. Sounds good. No problem.
All righty. Go ahead.
It's all good. DJ Minnick just made a comment about thinking of $10 per hour just to load and unload, setup, et cetera. You know, I think that's another conversation, too. We can get into that. Alton and Lucas, I'd love to get your thoughts here on this topic, too, if you don't mind.
Certainly. Lucas, why don't you go ahead first?
Ours is a lot like Mitch's, but different as well. That it's based on talent level and what the, you know, colleague coming from out of town, you know, we'll throw extra compensation in on that as well for a consideration. Really, it's talent and what the job is to be performed. If it's just grunt work, I mean, you know, come on, guys. $100 goes a long way some days, but it all depends on talent and the job.
Yeah. Alton?
I would say that everybody's got some valuable feedback. Again, it kind of goes back to if you're talking about pay, but I think the question originally was how do you recruit people for your business? And so we got talking more about the pay scale. I mean, how you pay people, that's kind of boils down to your business plan and what works for you and where you're at with that. But how do you recruit people? I do think that pay incentive is good. I mean, if you give people enough incentive to come and be there, I think they're going to be there just out of a sheer want desire to earn their paycheck. At the same time, as far as recruiting talent goes, I think you have to look in unique places. I do agree that you want to make sure that you're not hiring DJs that are trying to work their own business for themselves, because I think then that situation, you know, and there's nothing wrong with somebody that wants to be entrepreneurial and go out and do things on their own. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And you might eventually end up with somebody like that who wasn't a DJ that you hire and is going to get to that point. I don't, I don't see a problem with that. I think if you give them enough incentive to stay with you, like good pay, you take care of them, they're probably going to stick around. But getting to that, I think some good places to look, I think, are if you're looking for MCs, I think speaking clubs, Toastmasters is probably a good place to recruit to find MCs because, hello, they're doing it for a living. They're trying to increase those skills, and now they're already practicing in that, and then you can bring them into your DJ business. I do think that looking at I mean, I'm not going to lie, but I think looking at people who are in that college age that you can develop and train is a good place to start, because here you're still looking at people that they're looking for ways to make income outside of their main hours, if you will, of going to school. And then they're also, you know, young adults versus just high school kids fresh out of high school. So you get somebody that's in their sophomore, junior, senior year of college, you know, they're already a little bit more mature. And if you can find somebody that's maybe even in like the theater or AV department or the music department that has got some knowledge of what you're doing already, mm-hmm. and then further enhance and develop their skills, I think that that's a good place to look. Because again, I think once you get to people who are, if you're looking to the pool of people who are, you know, married, have family and stuff like that, that's going to be harder to recruit to get them to go out on Saturday night. Unless they really don't like spending time with their family, then they probably want to come out with you.
So but, Alton hit on a big couple things there. Mike Walter has a whole book when in his, you know, Running Your Multi-Op book, he talked about where to recruit people. So if you don't have that yet, Joe, I definitely recommend picking that up. Community colleges, absolutely. I just talked to a gentleman, ironically enough, who's like all over the place in our high school. And I chatted with him possibly about, you know, working for our company, and we'll see. It sounds like he's staying around close at this point. So he would be a great person to grab. I've gotten also check your current talent pool, you know, ask them who their friends are that may be interested, because if you like them, you're probably going to like who they hang out with. And then you have a rock star that you know, or that they may know that might work better, you know? So those are things to think about, in regards to, you know, what you're doing there, for things. So
to join, all you have to do is feel free to, hit me up here. I'll try to bring you into the live stream as well, as much as we can here. And do our best for that.
That might be Hampton.
A lot to, chat about here, of course.
Holly, can you take care of that?
Yep.
Invite button. We will get some people to join us on live tonight.
I don't know where that's coming from.
I got it. It was Hampton.
Okay. I think Brian Kelm just popped in too. So, Brian, if you want to join the chat, feel free to hop in. Appreciate it. Hello, Hampton. How are things with you? Things are well. Shout out to Shawnee D, who's in the in the room as well with us. And of course, Tori from M&T Events. Thank you for being here as well, Tori. Victoria. Mr. Kelm has just popped in and joined us here. Thank you, Brian. Ian, good comment. So what you do there, I'll cover that. So Ian just made a comment in the chat. I don't want to be talking obvious, but a bunch of 40-year-old men hanging out at local high schools to recruit is maybe not the best way to go about that. Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. So what you do is you find an in. So for us, for our company, what we did was for one of the career days or find out about a way that they need to prep for interviews, and that's what we did. We ended up being one of the interviewers, you know, to help them with job interview skills. And so we went in, and I was actually one of the interviewers for this class of high school students going through, and literally pulled two people out of those interview sessions. I was like, dude, I want to hire you. You'd be great. Ironically enough, one female, one male. And one of the female ended up working on my website and was my webmaster for a year or so. And then the gentleman ended up being an assistant for us for about 2 years. So it's not, you know, you're not going around hanging around, you know, the high schools and
what about. Yeah. One of the downfalls with one of my roadies is he was in a band, and he's a sound engineer, and he's not a bad guy, all right? But all right. He'd talk everybody's ear off about his band at my event, and that sucked. You know, yeah. He's on the back of the call list. Let's put it that way. So
that's understandable.
Yeah, I didn't want to break his heart, and down him and all that. So I just can't have that. So
got it.
A quick bit of housekeeping. Hey guys, down at the bottom of your screen, if you would like to speak, raise your hand and we can turn your mic on. We can't have too many mics open or we get that feedback. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead, Mitch.
I think it's just a case that we got Hampton wants to say something, looks like, so let's throw open the mic. No, Hampton says no. Okay, never mind. So I think it's a case of, again, where do you want to find your rock stars at, Joe? What specifically are you looking for? Do you have an in at the school in regards to, do you do their dances already, for example? Do you know some of the faculty? Maybe you did, the sophomore English teacher's wedding or whatever. So whatever that in might be at the school might be able to get you into a conversation about who do they know that's up and coming, who's helping out at the theater, as Alton said, in the theater department. Those are things you can look at to try to recruit new talent. Teachers are another good resource, and Mike Walter said that before in his book in regards to that is, teachers have all summer off, and maybe they want the summer off, but, teachers' salaries aren't necessarily the most well-paid. That's unfortunate in our society, but true. And that might be an opportunity to speak in front of kids all day. Kids are very similar to handling drunks, frankly. Lucas is laughing, but there's something to be said for that. I'm serious.
Yeah, but you can slap a drunk around.
You can't slap a kid around. I wouldn't slap a drunk around either, but my point is that you have to manage people. And regardless of what their age range is, you're still managing people from a teacher perspective. You're in charge of people. You're in charge of a room of people. And that's where, having those teaching skills, those presentation skills, can come into play. Any other thoughts, comments here?
I just think it's a good point about the teachers. How many of us in here were in the AV club at school?
Me. I wasn't in AV club, but I went to broadcasting school, so that probably counts for something.
That sort of thing is what I meant, sure.
I used to splice reel-to-reel tape together.
Wow. Oh, what is that? I don't know what that is.
Hey, Mitch, I got one thing for you.
Yes, James.
Tapecaster.
Yes. Yes.
What are you old guys talking about?
Top load Tapecaster.
Exactly. Yeah, long story on reel-to-reels. I don't want to get into the back of my day conversations, but that's the truth, so. What other topics do we want to hit here on our DJ hangout here tonight for DJ NTV? Kind of filling in for John Young. Thank everyone for being a part of the DJ NTV hangout tonight. Greatly appreciate it. You guys coming together, Howie, James, Hampton, everyone else has been a part of it here. Greatly appreciate it. So feel free to pop in with a question. If you have a question, raise hand. If you just want to comment, put a comment in the feed below. Something want to talk about here upcoming. We'd love to hear what you want to chat about in our DJ NTV hangout here tonight.
Where do you comment?
There should be a chat on the side, I do believe.
Yes, there is a chat room. And at the very bottom of your screen, if you're on camera, you can raise your hand and we'll turn your mic on.
And you can also click on the chat room.
I love Joe's eyeballs there. That's funny.
Okay, I got a question.
Joe, where are you out of, by the way? And let's get the next question in a second.
I got a question.
California, who's got the question?
I do.
Okay.
Screen says iPhone.
Oh. Okay, it's DJ Paul from Baltimore for Mitch Taylor.
Oh, goodness, it's Paul from Baltimore.
Hey, Mitch, I got a question. I'm trying to come up with an inquiry, a resolution for a good answer to inquiries from the Wedding Wire and the Knot. I'm fishing around with five different ones, and I can't get one to kind of get people to respond. I'm getting like a 10 or 20% response rate, and I'd like to get a better response rate. I've been using Alan Berg's from the Wedding Wire, and it just doesn't seem to work, giving a range from 1,000 to 1,800, and it's just not working. And once I give them the price, I feel like I ran out of gas. So I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on that.
Well, there's a couple things there, Paul, Mr. Perinello. We need to bring your mic down just a hair, brother.
Oh, sorry.
It's really loud, and I'm sure with James with the headphones is like, yeah, blowing up. Anyway, so the thought is, Paul, I guess the first thing is, yes, definitely give a starting point. I know Alan Berg speaks about a range. I prefer a starting point. I've done both, you know. I prefer a starting point because, again, sometimes they'll just throw out and say, well, I want a price. A price on what? Like, we have several different services for our company. We can go as low as $200 or all the way up to $6,500. It just depends on what they want, a price on, you know? So from that standpoint, it's just a conversation about what they want. Now, when you say you give a price and you don't hear from them again, are you following up and how are you following up?
Yes, I'm following up like a couple of days later. Hey, Mitch, I just want to touch base. I never heard back from you. Are you still interested in my services? And I have another friend that actually offers them a free dance floor light show to get them to bite and to send an answer back. So I'm kind of fishing around for different things on the follow-up letter.
You always have to realize where someone is at in the process. Now, I just had this happen, literally.
Go ahead.
Bride had sent me requests for information, wanted pricing, all this stuff. June of 2017, I just sent her a contract 2 days ago.
Wow.
Of 2017, Mitch?
She contacted us in June of 2017 for pricing for her September 2018 wedding.
Holy cow.
True. So you don't know. This may be just a complete exploratory, trying to find out rough numbers at this moment, Paul.
Okay.
You need to, so when you talk about the sales process, and obviously I wrote the book Sales for Vet Pros, but the very first step with that is search. So search your client, find out all you can about them. It's not stalking if you know exactly why you're using it and you're using it to serve them better. That's the point. So if you find out that her wedding date isn't till, you know, July of 19 or 2020 or whatever the case is, she may not be ready to book yet. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes,
she's
sir.
Just exploratory at this point. So she may not be able to, you know, want to book someone right now. She may just be gathering information right now. So a follow-up for you in this case, because you asked for a follow-up, so I'll give you one.
Okay.
The follow-up for you in this case might be, listen, I don't want to be a pest, but I want to make sure you're taken care of. Are you looking to try to nail down your entertainment this week, next month? When's good for me to touch base back with you? You know, keep it conversational is my point. Shorter the better, I'd recommend. That's probably a little long, honestly.
Is shorter the better because they're millennials and they can't take a lot of typing?
I think everyone is distracted in different ways. I just had someone recently on another email I got from a bride, and she did not even read it from a standpoint of me asking her a question. Like, I asked what her fiance's name was twice.
Oh my goodness.
I responded on the third time, which is fine, whatever, you know. But in this case, I think it's important. You got to have any more information to be able to instruct you a little better. But in general, you got to find out what their timetable is. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Mitch, we have two hands up in the chat room. DJ Mini C, you're up.
That's Joe.
That's me.
DJ Mini C.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. How are we, Joe?
Actually, I was listening to the last question about the wedding wire because I've been having that same problem also. Like all day, the last couple of days, I've been getting inquiries only about price.
So you have to open a conversation with them. I wish I could take credit for this quote. I can't. A fellow Disc Jockey News columnist, Jake Palmer, has this quote, and it's not a confrontation, it's a conversation. So you can't look at it as this. You got to look at it from a standpoint of how can I help them? So are they asking for price? What are they asking for price on? And if, in fact, here's another one. If you're not a member of Sales for Vet Pros, my friend Rob Ferrey just shared a great exchange of how to have a conversational exchange with a bride that he booked from Wedding Wire. Now, they're not all going to be that way, okay? But the key is to keep it conversational, end with a question. Huge Alan Berg fan from that standpoint, always end with a question. And then just keep the conversation going with them, Joe, is my recommendation. So find a way.
Ain't gonna lie, I have a hard time at that.
So Alton has a statement. I want to hit two things super quick, then turn it over to Alton. I would definitely recommend this too. And that is, you know, your two questions. What are the first two questions? You know, how did you hear about us? And what do you know about us as a company? I certainly would ask, how did you hear about us in the very first exchange? If you don't already have it, I probably would still ask it regardless. Alton.
Yeah, just things to add, and these are some of the things, Mitch, that you're already saying, and if you're reading in between the lines of what you're saying, but I'm going to just come out and say it to make it crystal clear.
All right.
When you're talking with these, when you're speaking with these couples, you always want to imagine if you were just talking to a friend and how you would help out your friend. We all, you know, if a friend comes and asks for you for help, like, hey, man, I don't know how to pick out this wedding DJ. What am I doing? What do I ask? And a lot of times they're asking you price because that's the only question they can think of to ask. They've never shopped for somebody like us before. So that's why they ask that question, because that's the first thing on their minds. They're wondering how much does it cost. But if you look at it more of a thing of you can really help them make the best educated decision on how to pick their DJ, then you can approach the conversation from that mindset, and now you're speaking to them in a way that's helpful and serving them, rather than thinking like, well, what do I have to do to try to sell them or get them to want to buy what I have? Again, you want to turn it around and kind of take your, you almost have to take yourself out of the whole I'm the owner of this company, I'm trying to sell my services mentality, and go into the mentality of like, hey, thanks for getting in touch with me. I realize you reached out with me because you need help with a problem you've got right now, and here's how I'm going to try to help you. And always try to, again, like Mitch said, keep it conversational, keep the conversation going. Try to find out more about what they're looking for versus which package do you want from me and how much it's going to cost. Ask about what do they really want out of their wedding. And of course, like Mitch said, the two questions, how did you hear about us and what do you know about us as a company, are great places to start because it opens you guys up on common ground. Because now they're listening to how, and I, of course I got that right from Mitch. Mitch will tell you why those questions are great, and that's exactly why. That'll open up that conversation that, hey, well, we heard about you this way. And then if they tell you they heard about you a certain way that leads to another connection, for example, let's say they heard about you from a venue or a photographer or a friend that saw you at another wedding, then there's something that you can talk about to then bridge the gap between you and that new person and create more familiarity where you can be in a better position to help them.
So Brian would like to give some thoughts on this. Brian, go ahead.
Sure. First of all, Paul, is consider that, you know, this kind of situation isn't going away anytime soon. Brides are not going to be calling, you know, as much as they are, you know, or they used to. It's going to be more indirect. It's going to be more email, Facebook Messenger and whatnot. So that is something to plan for. But also, though, the more You know, just like even like the wording that you're using, it's like, okay, well, I'm calling to follow up. That is a trigger word for where's the money at? Or I'm sure that a bride has heard that before, as opposed to going at it a different way and possibly considering that every time you send an email to her, it's with a piece of value, or it might be an article that you wrote. It could be an ebook that you created. It could be a video log that you did of a wedding, maybe at their venue. Anything that you can do to enrich their experience of you and get them to think of you less as a commodity, right? And plus, Mitch, this goes to you, is a curveball. Throw them a curveball. They want all the information on the planet that you can deliver, but they want to be vague about themselves. You know, they want you to give everything to them, but you absolutely know nothing about them. So it works both ways. So what I recommend is creating a social media or an actual email campaign in terms of when you reach out to somebody, like, okay, what emails are you creating? Instead of it just being random, have something in place that touches on different things for weddings that you do. Okay. And then the other fellow DJ, Mini C, is looking at when you're talking to a bride and groom and stuff like that, give them thought-provoking questions, right? Get them to, you know, like, ask yourself this one question is, what are they buying? Or what are they potentially buying from me? They're not buying gear. They're not buying speakers. They're buying an experience. They're buying an outcome. Okay. And the more that you can tap into stuff that they've might have never been asked before, the better. But you also have to be very cautious because you don't want to overwhelm them with a lot of questions at once. So the more powerful your questions are, the better your return is going to be in terms of getting them to really open up. But it has to be little by little, little nibble by a little nibble.
I see Hampton's holding up my Creative Consultations DVD. That was like, I don't know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago now. But thank you, Hampton. I appreciate you having the DVD. Yeah, that is old. Well, if you want the latest version, Hampton, you can pick it up at, I can't read what that is. Is that my sales success? Yeah, it is. Yeah. Nice. So Hampton has all my stuff. Sales for Event Pros, my old tablet. Ian says my old tablet with a Kindle no longer has Sales for Event Pros in it. I guess they expire. I'm confused. Sales for Event Pros is the book. Was it the book you had, Ian? Just message me or something, Ian. Let me know how I can help from there. The ebook, you should be able to download it again wherever you downloaded it from previously. You should be able to download it again on Kindle or wherever you downloaded it from. If you have the purchase receipt, you should be able to download it again. The curveball thing I want to hit real quick. Yes. So the curveball thing is something with you're changing their eye line. Right? Because the eye line, if you're at a batter at the plate, right, you're looking, you're watching the eye line, and the curveball changes the eye line. So in this case, the curveball question changes the thought pattern in the client. So by changing the thought pattern, what can you do? Every other DJ out there is going to be saying, you know, speakers, lights, 6 hours, 5 hours, whatever they have. But if you ask a more thought-provoking curveball question like, and paint the picture. So in this case, if you said something like, picture your wedding night. Your guests are driving away from your event, the venue, describe the venue. It's been an amazing party. What do you want them to post on social media the next day? What if I could guarantee you that's exactly what they'd say about your party? And you keep the conversation going that way. So curveball is putting them in somewhere that they're not getting from anywhere else. It's changing up the thought process. I hope that makes sense for anyone who was paying attention on that.
I also think a good practice to have for all of us, it's a little bit of a slower time in the off season, is for all of us to practice objections. You know, they're not going away. They're buying signals. And if we each had a $5 bill for every time a bride says, hey, what's your price? And then however many time people freeze, we'd have a lot more money in our pockets individually, right? So, and Mitch, you know, in all your materials with, you know, there are no new objections in the world of sales, right. Okay?
Four objections.
So, exactly.
So, every objection you get boils down to four. One of four, that's it.
And so this whole price thing, number one, it's not going away. Number two, it's just a buying signal. Number three is that most brides and grooms don't know what else to ask. Okay, period on that. Yep. So what are we doing to flip that script as opposed to singing that same old tune?
Well, I've tried all of that. I've tried a little bit of everything, but here in Central Florida, I feel like all they focus on is solely price. I've tried the different techniques. I've been watching all of y'all on social media and trying stuff like that, and I'm like, okay.
Joe, do me a favor. Send me an exchange.
Do what?
Send me an exchange.
Do you record your meetings?
Oh, no.
Not even recording a meeting. Do you have an email exchange of a bride and groom where you went back and forth on?
Not right off. I have to look for them.
Okay. Send it, if you don't mind, send it to me. I'll happily take a look at it for you for nothing. How's that?
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Joe, but, you're
like, for me?
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say.
For me, I have my weakness is emailing, texting, and reading. I try to get them to call me because I can explain what I'm trying to say over the phone better than I can trying to type it or whatever.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. You have to have the conversation wherever she wants to have the conversation, or he, for that matter.
Okay.
wherever they want to have the conversation, you have to have the conversation there. Vicky and I did we've done it. I just presented it on the Mobile Beat Cruise as well, but I have a whole seminar on handling the how much email. And I literally show in that seminar how I took one of my coldest leads I ever had, hammered me on price to, can we book a meeting now? And I show you the Wedding Wire review afterwards as well. Because she ended up not getting just DJ, even though that's what she said up front, was she wanted just a DJ. We also took care of her ceremony, sound, and coordination, and monogram as well. So it went from being, you know, just a DJ to a $2,200 package, which is great. Mm-hmm. So again, I think it's one of those things where it's hard to give you straight answers without seeing exchanges and coaching a little bit on that side of what to do next time. Obviously, hindsight is always 20/20, but what Brian said is crucial too. We just went through, and Vic and I did a private workshop in New Jersey. And there were some that were great on handling the objections. Frankly, there was a couple rock stars that really stood out. But there were others that, you know, I threw an objection in there and they didn't handle it very well. So getting yourself into a workshop or role playing with another wedding pro in your area, doesn't matter if it's a DJ or not, it could be a photographer, a wedding planner, a venue, whatever. Just say, hey, can we work on our sales skills? Do you have some time to be able to share and we can help each other possibly, you know, role play objections and role play parts of meetings to get better, you know, I think is important. Ian says, do they not know what to ask, or is it they have so much access to content they are overwhelmed or confused on what to say at all? Not to mention their best friend found a great DJ on Craigslist for only $2.99. Yeah. You can argue they're overwhelmed with content, so now you got to cut through the content. How do you cut through the content? You either have slick-ass marketing like Joe Bunn.
He just cranks that out.
Joe's only an hour away from me. We're in the same market, kind of.
Nice. Or you talk to them like you're talking to your best friend about what they need and how you possibly can help them. And that's how you got to approach it. Yeah. You know, conversational.
there's a couple other things too, is that, you know, man, it's like a get them or open book tonight for me. But in terms of most brides and grooms would prefer somebody friendly over professional, right? And then second of all is, well, I can't even remember what I was going to say. It all built up there. Oh, is it as far as, remember these four words, perceive value and perceive difference. We can say to the nth degree how great we are and blah, 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 and we provide value. But if they, if the prospective customer doesn't perceive that, we don't have any perceived value. And then all that's left is price. So some people, naturally 30 to 40% of brides and grooms are price driven, just like our society. But then that leaves 60 to 70% of brides and grooms and the wedding community that will not buy on price alone. But you have to be willing to find those buying motives. You have to be willing to have them see your difference in your value. But us saying it doesn't make it reality.
Well, some clients are not your client to begin with. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. That's another thing you have to realize. That a lot of people think every client's my client.
Nope.
No, in my opinion, no. Hampton, thanks for joining us. Greatly appreciate you being here. Any other thoughts? We got, it looks like we got another 8 minutes or so left on the round table here for DJ NTV Hangout. Any other thoughts, Mr. Palma, De Palma?
Yeah, model or photo releases for promotion.
Ooh.
Self-promotion.
For, you're talking about yourself or for people that are in your?
For, you know.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Using a bride's photos for your promotion.
Well.
That's just strictly a conversation for me. That's my opinion, just a straight conversation. You get the phone and call her. And hopefully, you know, hopefully you've garnered enough of a great relationship with her throughout the process. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier a little bit. I forget which, if it was the first one or this one, frankly, at this point, which one it was in. We were talking about that, of, you know, staying in contact with your clients. So, to me, if you book a bride at 9 months out and you don't talk to her again until, you know, 6 weeks prior, you're missing a huge amount of referrals there. So, but if you have a great relationship with her throughout the process, then just ask.
Yeah, most of my brides, probably 85% of them are my friends on Facebook to this day. Watching them have children over the years.
Yes.
You know, it's great. And always commenting, you know, oh, beautiful baby, you know, fantastic. Lots of inspiration. Sometimes their kids are sick and they'll ask for prayers and, you know.
Sure.
Amen. And it goes a long way. I have one bride that has literally sent me almost 10 weddings.
Nice.
Yeah, and
it's funny, we can go back and track where those weddings came from. I even saw one of my past couples tonight from 2005, 2006, that now their daughter is going the same exact grade as my daughter. So it's kind of cool to see that as we are going through life together, essentially, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing to see.
One more thing. What about that bride and groom or bride or whatever? It doesn't, even though you killed their party, I mean, you rock the place, right? Doesn't send you a review.
Well, you can get into the whole conversation of having, how are you getting reviews? How are you asking for reviews? Mm-hmm. I know there are many people that disagree with me on this, and that's okay. They can be wrong. that's total Randy Bartlett statement right there. But the reality is, you know, when I gave this out a while back, people were like, oh, you're incentivizing reviews. No, I'm not. So at the back of our Tailored Weddings evaluation form, we say that if they fill out the review, the evaluation form, and give us a review on Facebook or give us a review on Wedding Wire. No, Wedding Wire, and then if they give us a video review. So they have to do one out of three, and I've actually changed it to Facebook now because I want more Facebook reviews right now. So from that standpoint, they have to do one out of three. Either give us a video review, Wedding Wire review, and return the evaluation. So they have to do two out of those three. If they do two out of those three, then we will send them to dinner on us to their favorite restaurant. Now, I didn't say what the review had to be. I didn't say send us a five-star review. That's not what I said. I said if you send us a review and, you know, do a Wedding Wire review or send us a video review, fill out this eval, you have to do two out of three. So they do two out of three, they get the dinner. That's all I get reviews back. And if you were in my office tonight, you'd see a really, I got a book like this thick. I mean, literally, it's thick. But I've been asking those same questions since 2005, I think. 2006 off the top of my head. So it's 12 years worth of data. And that's that goes back to the whole thing of, you know, the knot. And guys used to use, you know, once the wedding is over, 80% of brides said they would spend more on entertainment, right? We all seen that stat, right? Here's an idea. Get your own stats. Ask your own questions. Get your own data. Put it right in front of the couple so they see it handwritten in other brides and grooms' handwriting. Thank you cards. All of that. So now the proof is in the pudding. It's not just, you know, typewritten text on a screen from St. Louis Bride or wherever the heck it was from. It's not being made up. It's not being stolen from other websites. You've got your own data. And I'd encourage you to do that. You know, ask questions like that. Ask them who was the top three wedding pros that made your event a success. And by asking that question, now you're able to go back and actually, this is what I did on Facebook yesterday, a couple days ago, last week. I tagged those other two event pros that made the top three in our Facebook post, and they commented back on it. So what am I doing there? Now I'm grabbing their audience, right? And I'm showing their audience to us. So those are things you can think about doing to help grow your reach and get more reviews.
Hey, Jimmy, I was also going to ask, which type of reviews do you prefer the most? Like the video, the Wedding Wire, the knot, cards? I mean, which do you prefer the most? Or which would you, if you're only allowed one, which one would you have?
Video on Facebook.
Okay. Because video testimonials, to me, that's what I prefer. And then, as Alan Berg says, you know, when I talked to him a couple times, is that if it's not a long video and if it's specific and there's a specific time amount, transcribe it for SEO value, you know. And then anything that is written, and if you want to have it go cross platform, just have them copy and paste it, you know, there to you make go. It simple.
Well, I think we're at 9:58:56.
Oh, we're good. We're done.
Yes, we have a 10 o'clock show coming on. Stay tuned. All right,
perfect. Thank you very much, Howie, Jimmy.
Thank you, Mitch.
The crew. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for helping us fill in for John tonight.
Great job, Mitch.